Don't use yesterday's pain as today's perspective. Let me say it again. Don't use yesterday's pain as today's perspective. I know it's really self-explanatory, but obviously, because it's my podcast, we're going to get into it. So sometimes we use past experiences, and I say experiences, but sometimes it's a past experience to dictate ourselves, dictate treatment that we've received. And sometimes it was just an experience, but sometimes it was experiences. But you know what? The amazing thing about that is it was an experience and it was in the past. And a lot of the time it's only still affecting us because we make it our reality still, and we bring it into our present. Bring it into our present time. Now we come to the point of, well, what are you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? But what are you going to do about it? Because if yesterday's pain is still today's perspective and we're still allowing it to affect us, we need to do something. And that could be in the form of therapy, going and speaking to someone, but a professional, because we can only move on when we stop letting yesterday's pain be our today perspective, and allowing the past hurts and disappointments to cloud our judgment and prevent us from seeing new opportunities and appreciating just present moments. That you could be experiencing so much more if you wasn't living in the pain of yesterday. So that's my advice. That's what we're starting with. And with that said, we're going to get into the podcast so that we can jump into this a little bit more. And I want to tell you about an event I went to. Yeah. Okay, cool. Boom. Let's go. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of the So Flippin' Extra podcast. Put your teeth in. A platform for me to express, explore, and connect. And be so flippin' extra. Why I hear you ask? Well, babes, that's what brings me joy. So without further ado, let's get into the rest of the podcast. Because we got a couple topics to cover, and I'm trying not to make it a long one. Although, I'm hearing on the grapevine that you lot are loving the longer ones. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, I got a high pain threshold? Yeah, it didn't hurt that bad, but I got a high pain threshold. Something, it hurts you. It definitely hurt, but you've adjusted to the pain and you've made it okay because it doesn't hurt that bad. But to someone else, that same pain could be super duper painful. And this is where I give you an example. This is where we come out of the, no, this is the real. When I had Caden, I remember after I had him, and people be like, how was it? Oh my God, how was it? Was it painful? And I'm like, no, really wasn't that bad. And I used to watch One Born Every Minute, and I'd be like, it wasn't that bad. Honestly, it wasn't that bad. And I was like, I must have a high pain threshold. And this was brought to me again. By the way, I did have a really quick birth, like baby boy shot out. Pew! Anyway, so when I was pregnant with Callie, because I was bleeding during that pregnancy, I was on a lot more. At one point, I was in hospital for 2 weeks before having her, and they induced me. So after they did the induction, they had me on monitor. So they have this belt thing wrapped around you, and they're monitoring the baby. And I can feel, I can feel the contractions starting. I'm starting to have contractions now. And I'm chilling. I'm sitting there, I'm chilling. The kid's dad's there. I think by this point, my best friend's there. We're just chilling, having jokes. Midwife comes around, how's it? Oh, yeah, yeah, it hurts, you know, I can really feel it. I'm telling her that while I'm still like, yeah, yeah, it's calm though, isn't it? Like, but I can feel it. And she's like, okay. So she went and she come back again. She said, how is it? I said, it hurts. It really hurts. But I'm chilling. I'm laying on the bed chilling. Every so often I'm like, ooh. But it's jokes. We're catching jokes on the birth of baby girl. And so the woman's checked her chart, and she's looking at the paper, and she's looking at me, and she's looking back at the paper. She's like, can you feel that? And I was like, yeah, it hurts. I can feel it. Like I can feel pain. She said, your pain is at the top of the graph. Like, it's literally hitting the top. It can't go any further because it's hitting the top. And I was like, yeah, but I said, I can feel it. She said, but you're not acting like you're in pain. I said, I don't know, maybe I have a high pain threshold. And I only said that because I'd heard this, someone threw this term at me before. So I was like, oh, I have a high pain threshold. And that sat with me for years. Like, oh, I just have a high pain threshold. And I was wearing this shit like it was a coat of honor. Like, it's not, because you become numb to things that hurt. You become numb to things that should cause you pain because you're like, oh, it's okay. I have a high pain threshold. Like, freaking glitching out here. Like, it hurts. I'm in pain. Mentally, physically, spiritually. I'm in pain. I feel it. But I have a high pain threshold. I told everyone this. Now I'm acting on it. If this is you, and if you can relate to what I'm saying, can we stop? Can we stop wearing the banner of high pain threshold? Because what happens when you have a high pain threshold to whatever it is, physically, spiritually, mentally, everyone thinks that you can handle shit. And we're only handling it because we don't know how not to handle it. When my dad passed away, I didn't know how to not handle it. So I went around just cracking jokes. It was okay. We were all together though. It was like, he would have wanted to go like that with his children around him. What? Bitch, shut the fuck up. Come on, stop it. I was hurting. But I didn't want anyone else around me to hurt. I didn't want anyone else to feel bad for me. So I never allowed myself to feel that. I don't even know if I have. I had the fire. Did not know how to deal with that. Again, I just... It's fine. It's okay. We were fine. We got out. I felt my dad pulling me out because I tried to go back in the house to put it out by myself once I got me and Callie out. But my dad pulled me back. It was fine. He was with me. And we're safe. Everything's okay. I was in pain. No one knew. I didn't want anyone to know. I remember my friends, like, a couple of weeks later, they came, they was helping me kind of get settled into the temporary place. And we were dropping Callie to my mum's because I just needed a break. And I got to my mum's, it's from Wembley to Willesden, got to my mum's. And I was like, I just forgot her bag, everything that she needed to be at my mum's. And like, cried, and they was like, you're right. I'm fine, it's fine. They was like, it's fine, Dan, we'll go back for the bag. We went back for the bag, come back. And you know when people look at you, they just looked at me and they was like, it felt like an intervention, I'm not gonna lie. And I was like, are you sure you're all right? I'm fine. And it was nice. We had food, we chilled, we had a joke, cracked a joke and everything. They knew I weren't fine. And as soon as they left, I was in tears. I burst into tears because I knew I wasn't fine. Why couldn't I allow people to know I wasn't fine? And these are my best friends. Known them since I was 11. But I was fine. I've got a high pain threshold. I can handle it. I'm strong. I'm a strong black woman. Fuck that shit too. But that's another podcast for that one. But listen, let's stop it. Just because our eyes can adjust to the dark, it doesn't mean we've got night vision. Let's stop adjusting and making excuses for the fact that we can see in the dark. What do you think that means? I want to be in darkness. I love the light. I love waking up in the morning. My curtains, they're white. No, I'd say they're cream, but they have like flowers on them. But it's like really faint light flowers. As soon as that sun rises, I am up and I feel amazing. I couldn't have dark curtains. I couldn't have blackouts. I need that light coming through my window. And if I'm ever at a hotel or something, we live in that hotel life, baby. I have to have the curtain ajar because I need to see that bit of light come through. We're not adjusting to the darkness. We're not adjusting to the pain. We don't have a high pain threshold. We feel. But know who you can feel around. It's not everyone that needs to know you're in pain, because not everyone knows how to deal with your pain. And you need people around you that know how to deal with that pain and can, one, sympathize with you, but also not keep you down, not keep you in that, but just help you get out, help you bounce out and help you feel good and help you feel amazing, help you flourish and help you fly and just, and help you like, help you bust them jokes, but also remind you that, babes, you're not on your own. You've got this. Boom. And with that, we're going to move on, because yesterday I went to an event and it was an event for the ADHD AF podcast. And the lady who runs it, her name's Laura, and I met her a couple weeks ago at Lou Land's Self-Love Revolution podcast event. It's a podcast brunch. I met her there. And she reached out to me. Laura reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and was like, hey, Danny, I'm having an event. Would you love to come? And I was like, absolutely. I had no idea what this event was, what type of event it was, what to expect. Like, it was everything that I just didn't expect. It was awesome. So where we first went in, I went into this like bar, because I didn't know where I was going. And there was these women. And I just saw the dead giveaway was leopard print. They're like a leopard print community. And I was like, so it must be them over there. And I was kind of scanning, see, do I know a face? Do I know a face? Didn't recognize anyone. So I just kind of went over. I was like, are you guys here for the ADHD event? And they was like, yeah. And they invited me to sit down. So I sat down with them. We spoke. Da-da-da. It was cool. It was lush. And then the actual event was around the corner. Like, just outside, right down the side of the building. So we went round there and then we went in and everyone was there. So technically I was late in my standards, because obviously I was early, but the event was starting at 7:30, and I would have wanted to get there earlier so I could get an earlier seat. But what it allowed me to do was meet people and go in with people and get to know some people before I went into this like space. Because as much as I'm very much out there and extra and loud and too much and all of that, I get really shy in spaces where I know no one. Something that is, most people wouldn't know, but some people would recognize that. So I quickly turn on like, you know, hi, but deep down I'm sweating like, oh my God, awkward. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I'm a loner. What are they going to say about me? Like, I get that. Who would have guessed it? It's called masking, darlings. It's called masking. But anyway, so I had people to sit with. It was cool. Da, 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 da. And then eventually the event started. And it started a bit late because there was technical issues. But you know what I loved about it? There was no stress. No one was stressing about the technical issues. And Laura and the team, they were reading off their scripts. And it didn't feel wrong. And they were saying, I've done this tour like how many times, but now I have to continue reading off my script because everything comes from the heart. But I can't remember what I wrote 10 minutes ago. I was like, oh my God, yes. The stress of trying to remember everything because you want to look perfect and you want to look professional. Trust me, I know. But because of that, because I've been speaking now for what, 2 years? Like oftenly speaking for 2 years. I used to try and practice, especially when I started my live shows on Instagram. I used to be like, practice the questions you're going to ask, know what questions you're going to have, because you don't want to keep looking at your paper. What? I didn't want to keep looking at my paper on Instagram live because I didn't want to look unprofessional on Instagram live. Oh, girl, if you don't. And eventually I was so glad when I broke up with that mentality. Because I would like, at first I was like, kid, you can't come in. I'm doing this for an hour. It's just an hour. You can't come in because I don't want to look unprofessional. There were times where I'd be like having a full-blown conversation. I'd be on live with my guest and I'd be like having a full-blown conversation. Why? Because I have children and they're in my life and they're there. Can't get rid of them, motherfuckers. They're there. And I love the fact that I could bring them in, because what it also done is it allowed my guests to feel more comfortable as well. There's time for professional and there's time for just keep it real, babes, because you're allowing other people around you to feel comfortable in your, and I don't even want to call it unprofessionalness, because it's not, it's just a different way. I loved it. I loved hearing them speak from the script. I love seeing them lose their place. Oh man, that stress of when you're reading something and then you have to stop for a second to engage and look up and you go back and you're like, shit, where was I? And then that anxiety that just creeps up and grabs your throat, and then now you're sweating up from your forehead. It's invisible sweat. For me, it's invisible sweat on my forehead because, well, no beads of sweat coming, but I felt every pebble on my forehead. And my underarms though, whew, they make up for the sweat missing on my forehead. Profusely sweating. Then my palms start sweating because now I don't want to look like an idiot. Oh, found my place. Here we go. Da-da-da. Now I can't even read properly. Now the words are jumbling up, but I want to look professional. The best thing I did was break up with that. And it's been a few times now where I've had the opportunity to actually say, shit, what was I talking about? Guys, what was I talking about? And doing that at the Idol Home Show, I knew I made it. I was like, Mama, I made it. I messed up on the Idol Home Show and I didn't care. Just carried on going. Like, hey, what was I saying? Someone was like, you was talking about, oh, thanks, babe. Mwah. Anyway, so boom. Skitty at that. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know who is listening to this, and maybe you have been questioning if you have ADHD, because there's so much information out there about it now. But this was it for me. I heard something and I felt I came alive when I heard it. It was information around ADHD and someone explaining their journey through being diagnosed and finding out about it. And I listened and I was like, oh my God, because before that, the symptoms and the traits weren't medical symptoms or traits or whatever words, whatever the professional words are, whatever. They were just not habits, what are the words? They were words like lazy, disorganized, sensitive, hyper, extra. I mean, I am extra, it just is what it is. So listening to someone say, give their experience and be seen, that's what it was for me. I felt seen. So if you've heard some information regarding ADHD and you're like, oh my God, I get it. That was my experience. There is a community of people, and especially women. A lot of these, I can't gauge the age of women out there that were at this event. I did not feel old. I didn't feel like the oldest person in the room. I didn't feel like I was with a bunch of high school kids that's like, what do you even know? You haven't even lived. Babes, these women have lived all ages, men and women. Oh, that guy was there. I can't remember his name, but his ADHD platform's really good. There is a community of people out there, the same as you, that are just finding out. And I think for me, it's been hard really speaking about it. And it's only been hard because of my own fear of rejection. Oh, there's a word for it. Hang on. What's that word for fear of rejection? Bear with me a second. RSD. So the rejection sensitive dysphoria. Woo! Come on with the words. Which is just that fear of being rejected. Basically, I could explain it properly, but off the top of my head, like, we're not doing that. So by my peers, just by the people that, you know, have known me, and they're like, that's not you, you're not that, everyone's that. Okay, but it feels different and I can't explain that. And if it, you know, in my community growing up, kids didn't have ADHD, they just needed a slap and to be told off and to be disciplined. That is it. And honestly, when it was advised to me, it was quite early advice to me that Caden could have ADHD. Like, my mum said it to me. I think he's got ADHD. Let me tell her that now. She can't remember, but whatever, innit? But she said, I think he's got ADHD. He's very hyper. And he was. That boy could not keep still. But look at him. He's a freak. He done track and was the fastest in his class. And now he does basketball and jumps all around the place. Everything makes sense. But she was one of the first people to point it out to me. And when he went to school, they was like, we think he could have ADHD. Fidget. This boy was a fidgeter. And they would say it and I'd be like, okay, well, this is normal. I was like that in school. It's normal. And then he went to secondary school, same thing, swinging, always swinging on the desk, tapping his pencil, tapping his ruler, mum. He's always fidgeting. Have you ever had him, you know, tested for, or whatever the word is for ADHD? I'd be like, nah, they've said it before, but I mean, it's just normal. It's normal. I was like that. It's normal. And obviously now exams are coming. We think it would be a good idea to get him tested. And I was like, in my head, I was like, it's normal. You just need to help him focus. If he's not interested in your class, learn, he's not going to focus. But if he likes the subject, he likes the teacher, he's going to focus. That's what I used to say. Because that's what I was told. That was normal for me. The behavior was normal because I was like that. And look at me, I'm perfect. And in my world, kids that are hyper, they just need to be disciplined. Just sit down, man. Just tell your kids to sit down. And then adult ADHD a couple years ago becomes a thing. And I'm like, oh. And then, you know, when the big O was last year, October, when I was told it was hereditary, I was like, oh, he got it from me. Oh, my God, I have it. And then it was like, oh, I got that shit from my daddy. But I don't know, if you hear stuff and you're like, yeah, I've been seen. And for me, I like, again, there is a community of people out there. And when I did figure out that this was something that I definitely feel like I've got, I also wanted to seek out the Black community, because that's where it wasn't acceptable. And that's where it felt, and this is for me, it felt like it wasn't accepted in the Black community. And I would say in the Black community is where you get the most pushback for me again. Like, oh, really? Everyone has ADHD. All kids are hyper. I was like that. There's different levels, and there's different, even in the whole ADHD community, there is like some real, real cases. And there are some people that have been able to control it. Like the whole time management thing. I'm not a late person. I don't have time management problems. And then I read today, but time management is actually one, being too late, or always being late, and actually always being early, because you're only really being early because you're trying to manage the time management and not be late by being overly early. Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm not a late person. I forever, when I've got somewhere to be today at 2 o'clock. Trust me, I've checked my journey 5 times already today. And I've run through my morning every hour. Once we get to the next hour, okay, boom. At this time, I've got to do this, 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 and this. So I make sure I'm here at this time. Next hour, okay, now I've got to do this, 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 because boom, I've got to be here, and I've got to make sure I leave it here. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, being early does not come easy. It comes with constant checking, 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 checking. Am I on time? It comes with constant anxiety of being late. It comes with if the train is running 2 minutes late, it's now, oh, let me just double check. Am I going to get there on time? Okay, cool. Let me message to say that I think I could be 2 minutes late. That's me. Come on now. It's not normal. It's not normal, but it's normal. It's my normal. But it's also not normal, and it's cool. Not normal's cool. So I'm going to wrap this up, guys, because I feel like I'm gym jam jumping all over the place. And it is what it is. And yeah, that's just my message. If you think it is you, you can reach out to me. You can share your experiences with me. But like I said, like, I'm still learning, so I don't have all the answers. Sway, you ain't got the answers, Sway. But a great place to start would be a podcast. Listen to a couple of what other people are saying. And for me, a great place to start would be the ADHD podcast, because I just spent a whole freaking evening with them, and it was freaking fantastic. And then keep going, go your way from there. Like, feel it out, figure it out, talk to people. And you know what? Yeah, you may be judged, babe, but you've been being judged all your life. You just either know about it or you don't. And you just make a decision of whether you're going to care or not. And with that said, I've reached the end of this week's episode of the Soul Flipping Extra Podcast. Podcast, 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 podcast. So yeah, anyways, I'm going to be back next week. I don't know what we're talking about, because obviously these things aren't planned. Peace out. A-Town down. West side is the best side. Do I believe that? Well, I don't know. But what I do know is wherever I'm at, the vibe's at. and the vibe's always banging. Why? Because I'm masking the bullshit and I'm masking when I'm in pain. That's not normal. Why am I laughing? Stop laughing. Crazy. But the vibe, it's just a vibe. That's just one thing. One thing I can, you could get, you know them, you know when you have them, what are they called? Them animals, sheep, right? And they get cast ironed. Boom. If someone was going to cast iron me, all it needs to say is vibe, because that's what's for sure. That's one thing I know for sure. Wherever I'm at, the vibes are in it. Boom. They gonna learn today. I'm off to Mums That Rave today. They gonna learn today. As soon as I walk in, you know what I say? Party's here. Boom. I'm out. See you next week. Mwah.